welcome to the Wine Vault. On this very special Christmas Eve episode, we have Rob, Scott, and Becky all enjoying Innocent Bystander Central Otago Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's very special Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. Merry Christmas to all, including Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us, folks.
Yes. Also on the show is the Triple B.
Good evening. Merry Christmas.
Yes. We're all very, very merry tonight. This is our
festive.
Our Christmas episode coming to you on Christmas Eve.
How dare you say Merry Christmas?
Well, it will be tomorrow. I mean, Santa right now is on his sleigh.
And but you're only supposed to say happy holidays. How dare you?
You know what? Whatever someone says to me, I would say back to them. So if they wish me a happy Hanukkah, I would say happy Hanukkah back to you.
I would say that too. I would. Scott's just assuming.
I just wish people really meant happy instead of hatefulness. It's just like, just be happy. Merry Christmas, just be happy.
That's right. That's right, folks.
We're happy here.
We are. And on tonight's show, we have our holiday extravaganza. We will exchange our gifts. We will sing. We will not sing carols, but
We might.
But we're
what's everyone's favorite Christmas carol? Rob hates them all.
Yes. You know what's the worst?
Surprise.
Little Drummer Boy.
That's my favorite.
I know, and it's the worst.
I love it. A lot of people hate it. I love it. I have such a soft spot for it.
All those old British ones with the high soprano parts.
What?
Yeah.
Park Herald Agency. Yeah. Whatever.
The ones that no normal human beings can sing.
Yes. Yes, that's it exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
No. Yeah.
Just because I'm difficult.
Yeah.
No, but they're really classic.
If you're actually difficult, you're the wine guy who hates them all.
That's right.
Well,
no, I don't hate them all.
Okay, then what one is your favorite?
Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Okay.
I love that one. That's nice.
So, we were having...
I saw Mommy making out with Santa Claus.
Under the Christmas tree. It's kissing Santa Claus. Oh. She wasn't making out.
I saw Mommy.
Santa Claus wasn't feeling her up. Oh. What is wrong with you?
That was the next version.
Uh-huh. So the other night, Princess was feeling somber. And what'd she pull out off the DVR of all things? First, Frosty.
Oh.
Frosty.
Old school, Burlog.
Old.
And then Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Wow. Huh.
So
is that the claymation one? Or
that's it.
Oh, is that puppets or claymation? Or
I think it's claymation.
I think it's claymation.
Is it?
I think Rudolph's claymation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The snow monster always scared me.
Well, yeah, I'm down sick, so I'm in the bedroom in and out of a coma. And while she's watching Frosty, one of our girlfriends came over to the house, to the back door, came in the house, and was like trying to wake Deb up while she was watching Frosty. And couldn't get her to wake up.
Oh, wow.
And then just left. I never heard her. Oh, I know I was awake because I heard the end of Frosty and Rudolph come on.
See, you, though, has a history of people just breaking into your houses because
that's
you don't
true.
Protect do your keep.
Except it was this was a friend, at least.
Well, yes, but both times it was
Did
your
she
fault.
Take anything?
Probably my
his laptop.
Wife's dignity.
Yeah. Yeah, your laptop from right underneath your arms.
Check next to the street. It might be all
it
there
might
in the bag.
There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyhow, that's my Christmas story there.
That's true.
It's the best I've got.
Mm, at least I got to see people see what fingerprinting looked like everywhere. That
it's
was exciting.
Cool. It really is.
Yes, I got to watch an investigation.
It works.
There was far too many deputies there for that. Especially since your stuff was left by the street.
They did a good job, though, because they caught the guy.
I know, but still, it was like...
That area is kind of a hotbed of crime. That and the cat, the wild animal
oh,
cat.
Yeah,
loose.
Several
oh,
cats.
Yeah,
Elliot's
yeah. Ezekiel Elliott's parents' cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a really bad neighborhood now. Good thing you got out of there.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Dangerous. It's like the hood.
Yeah, it's a gang of exotic animals.
Yeah. That's right.
Jeez. Don't let Trump know.
Speaking
it'll
of
the M19. Oh, those African cats, they're a bad gang.
It's bad.
Bad people. Dangerous.
Speaking of exotic.
Let's not mention him anymore. It's Christmas.
Yes, yeah, speaking of exotic, though, on tonight's show, centering us back to where we're supposed to be.
Centering?
Yes. I'm level setting. On tonight's show.
Level setting.
As you heard in the opening, we have a Pinot Noir.
So trying to butter you up.
That's right. We have a Pinot Noir from New Zealand. It is Innocent Bystander. And this is their central...
Bystander. It's Stander.
What?
Bystander. Innocent Bystander.
Bystander.
You keep saying standard. You've said. I think you said it in the intro that
way. I mean the same thing.
No, they don't.
Bystander.
It's...
Yeah.
Oh, you think I'm saying... It says ER at the end. Bystander.
But you're saying bystander.
No.
You're thinking of me and saying
ridiculous.
Bastard.
Bystander.
Bystander.
Yes.
Okay. Hey,
just bystander. Every once in a while, you got to break out the hooked on phonics and remind him and he'll play the tapes.
You can just all stick it up your perspective butts. Mm. Anyway, bystander.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There's Central Otago Pinot Noir. Now, they have a different one. Actually, they have a full line. We were looking at this online because I'm not familiar with them.
As well, you shouldn't be.
Well, I know, but they're from Yarra Valley. But they have a whole thing of stuff. They have this Pinot Noir, naturally. They have one from Yarra Valley. They have a Pinot Gris. They have a Syrah. They have a Rosé, a Chardonnay, some Arnis thing. Who the hell knows what that is? A Gamay, a Tempranillo.
A Nay.
A more expensive Syrah. Another Pinot Noir. A Moscato. A Moscato in a little bottle. A red apple cider. A Prosecco. A Moscato in a can. And a fucking gift card.
You can buy a 24-pack of non-vintage Moscato 275 ml bottles for $150.
What would you do with it?
That's a good question.
Because I'm pretty sure they're not going to let that be imported.
Well,
I mean, there are customs. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I know. What's up with the non-vintage stuff?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Moscato. There Moscato champagne.
There is a reason why I purchased this.
What is it? We're dying to hear.
Well, you'll find that out as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault.
You have to talk about that.
Oh, I will. But as soon as we come back. All in due time. Here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the 2017 Innocent Bystander.
Good job.
Pinot Noir from Central Otago in New Zealand. Now, this wine, as I said before, there is a reason why I bought it.
And that is?
Well, the Triple B is going to present those things to us because it has some reviews.
Oh.
Yes.
So we're drinking this because of the reviews.
That is the sole reason. Also, the price, though. It's $18.99 of your money.
Okay.
Which is, what is it? Kim Crawford Pinot Noir money. And that's really where you're at.
And we've said repeatedly for a Pinot Noir, $20 is essentially your budget entry price level.
Mm-hmm. Well, this wine got, we'll start off with the lowest, which is a really negative one, an 88 from the Wine Enthusiast. And they said, when first opened, there's a simple rustic likability about this wine. Unimpeded by heavy oak, it allows a melange of dark cherry, blueberry, chocolate, violet, sage, and an earthy, savory nuance to shine through.
Doesn't that sound delightful?
It does. This all continues onto the palate, which is medium-bodied, sandy in texture, and held together by smooth, savory tannins and lifted acidity. The one drawback? It falls apart somewhat after a short time in the glass, morphing into something more soapy and confected. So drink up.
That's a promising review.
I know.
I can't say I've ever I don't recall a review like that.
No, we never had a review like that, but it was a wine enthusiast in there.
So it falls apart in the glass?
I guess, with air.
Like, you know, we've had something where we've decanted it, and then it just falls flat.
But that might be shocking to some of these people. The next one, though, it got from Scott's favorite reviewer, a 90 from Wilford Wong.
Willie, we prefer to call him Willie.
Why? Yeah, it's Wilford Wong.
Stop.
What?
Hello. Please, no more voices.
I'm sorry, I can't. Now, while the buzz, my commentary on this wine is while the buzz has quieted down a bit, Central Otago remains one of the world's preeminent growing regions for Pinot Noir. The 17 Innocent Bystander is an excellent example of style and elegance. Then my tasting notes. This wine is a lovely, fruit-friendly wine. Its aromas and flavors of pert red fruit and savory spices would pair it beautifully with a Moroccan lamb stew accented with cumin and ginger.
Wilfred, we prefer if you would not use the word pert in your reviews. It's offensive to some of our listeners.
What was the wine that we had a couple weeks ago that was labeled as food friendly, and what that just meant was that it was forgettable?
How many reviews does he list Moroccan lamb stew with cumin and ginger?
I like Moroccan lamb stew. What's your problem,
Willie?
And I mean, there's just a lot of flavors going on. I don't know. I love that the other review said tannins. It like really said all of the words that we really like. This one is like, oh, the region's great.
Well, it didn't say tannin.
He has some of
the wine.
Oh, savory tannins.
Yeah.
But then Wilford Wong just mainly talked about the region, not so much the wine, whatever his Moroccan.
Really, very little description of the wine at all. Mm-hmm. That's Willie. That's our boy Willie.
But if you thought I bought it just because of Wilford Wong, you're very, very wrong. The Wine Spectator also chimed in on this wine, and they provided it 92 of their points. That's a lot of points. And they wrote, polished blueberry and cherry compote flavors are fresh and show plenty of complexity as they mingle with the matcha green tea, sandalwood, and dried lavender notes. There's plenty of precision here with a long finish. Drink now through 2030. 2035.
That's
a very long time. They were just drinking vintage port and got confused. 2035?
And that is so opposite the wine enthusiasts, where this can even last in a glass.
Right.
The Spectator says to put it back for 16 years.
That's right. Right.
It's what you get with a wine like this. I mean, maybe.
No, you don't. You don't get that. You don't get two reviews that.
No,
are
I'm saying, how many times do we see this? You get this obscure wine. Have you ever heard of this before?
No.
Exactly. It's.
Well, I think what this shows is there's a boo boo in the room, and it's either the enthusiast or the spectator. And we know Wilford is a boo boo, but still, one of those two are boo boos in that regard.
Advertisement money.
Just so you know, I did not review this wine.
At least you have some integrity,
James. Are
you
going to talk about the label?
Oh, my God.
You want me to?
Is that what drew you to the wine?
The, oh.
Not in that voice.
I'm sorry.
Frico.
Yes, the label of Innocent Bystander, now you've given me a complex, is odd. There's some dude that looks like a ghost with some sort of apparition behind him.
Well, I think it's like...
is he dead?
I think he's turned to dust and is going away.
But what's that
it's
have to do
like
with...
It's like the Maltese Falcon is being transported on Star Trek. You know, the little dusty things come up during Star Trek.
I think it's like you returned to dust and he's returning to dust.
But what's that have to do with the name?
Nothing. I don't know.
No.
He's just an innocent bystander. He's returning to dust. I don't know. Maybe he fell victim to this wine.
Something fell victim to this wine.
Could be.
It's like an Art Nouveau poster for an independent movie.
Yeah.
Well, Triple B, would you like to read the paragraph about the winery? Innocent Bystander.
I would love to.
Good.
It's a privately owned, estate-based wine grower and winemaker in the Yarra Valley. 1 hour east of Melbourne. First released in 2003, Innocent Bystander is forever expanding its horizons to craft wines reflecting the purest interpretation of style available. This means, where necessary, exploring different regions to find the highest quality fruit available for each wine they produce.
Or not.
That is why they choose the Yarra Valley for Pinot Gris, go to the Swan Hill for Moscato, and across the Tasman to Marlborough for Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes, because everybody's looking for the best Moscato.
Yeah. Innocent Bystander's close-knit team, which means probably five people, has a long-standing track record delivering a range of wines with a personality all their own, distinctly regional and varietally expressive. The strikingly branded wines focused on Innocent Bystander's main character alone have established a strong reputation in restaurants and fine wine stores around the world. So this is sourced from Central Otago Vineyards in Winoka, Loburn, Bendigo, and Queensberry. 100% hand-picked.
Yes.
15% whole bunch ferment. Ooh. 5 days cold soak. 10 months in French oak, 10 of which was new.
15%.
Oh, 15%, yeah. Which was new, you're right.
10, 15, 20.
Yeah, whatever.
25, 30, 35, 40.
Oh, you've been working on the math.
So,
very proud of you.
Douche. Well,
what restaurants serve this?
Well, we were at Red Robin today. They do not.
Okay.
We were at Bob Evans briefly. They do not. Let's see. I've went through the McDonald's drive-thru to get something for William yesterday. They do not.
Jimmy John's doesn't either.
They don't. Dairy Queen does not.
Well, to be fair, our Dairy Queen's not open yet.
And possibly. They might in Baltimore, yes. Subway in Baltimore does not have this.
Any restaurants you've been to lately, sir?
No.
No. No. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Sizzler has this.
Oh, Shoney's?
Is it still open?
Yarra Valley is...
Yes?
Not New Zealand.
Okay, well, this isn't from Yarra Valley.
But that's...
It's from Melbourne. It's from Australia.
But it's not.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
This is Central Otago.
I see what he's saying. But then why... I get it. I'm following now. Mm-hmm. So the wine grower and winemaker are in Australia, but this is sourced from New Zealand. Is that right?
Well, it says from wine of New Zealand on the back.
But yet... Innocent Bystander is a privately owned estate-based wine grower and winemaker in the Yarra Valley, 1 hour east of Melbourne, as in Australia. Well,
that is in Australia.
Scott, being on all this cold medicine, picked up on it.
Well, it was just puzzling. I'm like, there's no Melbourne on New Zealand.
Well, you don't know that.
But so, yeah, Yarra Valley, well,
Tasmania.
Is Australia.
Yeah.
But the Central Otago Pinot Noir, so you picked out something that's...
Well.
It's definitely a bystander, because it's not Wanaka, Loburn, Bendigo, and Queensberry.
Well, that's unusual. You don't normally see a winemaker that is kind of... You know, that is New Zealand, but they're also Australia.
We
they don't normally
come across that before, and we've done plenty of New Zealand. We haven't done as much Aussie stuff, but we've done plenty.
Yeah.
You know, enough.
It's kind of weird. Well, anyway, folks, the wine. Forgetting all the odd little things. Here we are.
And Central Otago is a proper Pinot Noir region for New Zealand.
Get directions.
It's not an
I'm going to get directions to this place. We're going to figure this out.
I'm going to give you a hint. It's going to involve an airplane or a boat.
You think so?
Yeah, you're not going to walk there.
I'm just zooming out to see what continent it's in, okay? Oh, it's in Australia. Right there it is.
The Yarra Valley?
When the Innocent Bystander is right in Australia, in New South Wales and Victoria. Yeah, it's not in. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Well, they kind of play that down, but that's okay.
Well, no, this says, I mean, this is just so, I am very confused.
I think this is just their New Zealand.
So Yarra Valley is in Australia.
Yes.
Yes. So they have an Australian Pinot Noir. That's what this is, their New Zealand Pinot Noir. So they must be sourcing stuff in New Zealand to make this Pinot Noir. Yep. There we go.
Yippee.
There we go. So it's
an Australian wine producer's New Zealand Pinot Noir. You've outdone yourself.
Hey, you've never had one of these before. So shut up.
I'm probably never going to have one again.
Well. And,
you know,
earlier tonight, Rob was like, "What kind of wine are you in the mood for?" And I was like, "You know, this feels like it should be a little bit of a special episode. Mm-hmm. So let's have something that really we feel like has a lot of promise and potential."
And he pulled out this.
Right.
You know, I
might as well just got some like sewage water from the backyard.
This is something I would expect me to bring.
You don't have sewage water in the backyard.
I know, but I could have found some, pulled open the septic tank and pulled this out.
Well, you don't know. You haven't had it yet. So let's try it here.
Oh, yeah. We're just excited.
In the glass.
I bet that this is one of those only available at Total Wine.
Well,
it's going to be similar to that one.
Also negative.
No, even Total Wine turned it down.
I know.
Trader Joe's turned it down too.
So, can we talk about in the glass?
Yes, in the glass, a slightly purplish crimson hue.
By the way, speaking of Trader Joe's, I dropped the ball. You know how I've been collecting those Christmas ales from there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're out, and I didn't get this year's. It was like 7 straight years.
Too bad. It actually looks like a decent-looking Pinot Noir.
It's actually a little bit more dense.
Yep, but still has the translucence.
Mine almost looks like it almost has some effervescence.
The particulate. It's very particulate-y. Yeah, I'm with
you
that
move
a word.
It quickly.
It's just some simple salt. Yeah.
I just think it's some sediment that's suspended.
The nose, though, is a Pinot nose.
Suspended particulate.
Well, I mean, it really is. It's very particulate-y.
Well, did someone say sandy in texture?
Yeah,
wine enthusiasts.
They didn't actually mean grains of sand. I mean,
I'm starting to think that.
Yeah.
Raspberry, little cassis.
Little Pinot funk.
A little bit.
Light.
Sucks because I've got nothing. I am so congested. I've got nothing.
Imagine the finest Pinot Noir nose you've ever smelled.
Truly, never smelled anything.
And what I want to know is, what does this smell like?
That
a very very light Pinot nose.
Yeah, stylized Pinot nose, but still light. Yeah, pleasing. Yes. Nothing that will make you're not going to remember it 2 years from now. But it's a nice nose.
I've got one of those congestions where, like, as I'm drawing in the aroma on this, I've got, like, the little whistle going in my nose, and I can barely get mentholated alcohol.
There might be just a touch of, I wouldn't call it full-blown violet, but there's a light floralness to it, but it's not.
Wow, we're, like, right on track with the wine enthusiast.
Oh, Lord, I hope not.
Cherry, blueberry, chocolate, violet, sage, sandy in texture.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and otago.
Huh. I am pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to taste really bad.
Well, tastes like Pinot. Ooh. It's actually got a nice lively finish, doesn't it? A little bit of acidity, a little bit of tannin, a little bit of spice. It's got the right kind of mouth feel. It's medium bodied, but it has a light bounciness to it.
Yeah, it's kind of a rounder Pinot.
A little bit.
It's definitely not a lean Pinot.
No.
This also is not aged for 15 more years.
No way. We may be retracting our mocking of this. We're going to mock that thing that said 15 years. That's stupid.
You could set it back for 15 years. I'm not saying you would want to actually put it in your body at that point. 3 or 4 years would be all right, but that's about it.
Question that.
Something that we've noticed in some other wines that is starting to be one of my favorite things that we taste in wine is it has a little bit of a curl of, I think it's the acidity, but it's like, this is a pretty sharp acidity, like much more towards like an orange.
Yeah.
And I really, really love that.
Well, it's showing that New Zealand qualities that we like.
Yep.
Particularly in Pinot, this is a wonderful acidic balance, and it displays at the right time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's sometimes acidity in Pinots can be a little bit front forward. I love it on the backside like this. It really rounds out this glass really nicely.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes at the end, you can it's almost like the stomach curl, the whole.
No,
but this
is like perfect. No. Yeah. Well, the oak doesn't tack onto that. The nice thing about this one, though, at the price, at under $20, it's a nice drink that you could have three or four bottles at any given time. It's not like Kim Crawford's Pinot is leaner than this.
Yes,
I like Kim's somewhat, but it's a leaner Pinot. This is a lot more lush. Mm. This tastes more expensive. It's not Love Block. That's not even because Love Block is a wild experience. It's a gorgeous wine. It is a classic wine. It really is. They're Pinot. Even on the nose, it's just a classic drink. This is a very well done, solid Pinot that you want to buy.
I would call it solid. This is solid, not spectacular. Really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that I do like about this Pinot a lot is there are some nuances in the flavor. Like, there's not layers of nuanced flavor in there, but it is nuanced. And I think when we talk about like introductory wine to a varietal, this would be a great one because you would get some of the sampling of, some of the herbal notes, some of the funk without it really knocking you out. It's really, really nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then it has that mouthfeel to boot. Yeah, it's a good,
The mouthfeel I'm not quite as sold on as you are. I've had a much like silkier mouthfeel in a Pinot, which really makes it sing. There's nothing wrong with this one.
For me, this has that mouthfeel where it has that air of like it's chilled. Do you know what I mean? That texture, like it's cold almost. And that's a textural thing. It's not cold. We're not serving it cold. But you get that sensation on the palate. And it's interesting, but it's like you said, it's not velvety, it's not plush. It's
it hasn't gotten soapy and confected though.
No,
but
and that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And the tannin is starting to show a little bit. I can see actually. It would be one of these things where it's $18.99, so you could buy one just to throw it in there, see what would do over 10 years, because there is a hidden tannin on the finish, and it's very very tight right now. And that makes you wonder, is that gonna actually evolve and expand over the next several years? It might.
It might.
And you're not out anything by setting it back. Most Pinots, though, unless it's Burgundy, I wouldn't really associate it with a long-term major. But this one, that little bit of tight-wound tannin on the finish just makes you sit back and go,
okay, so I don't know. How many of these bottles are you going to put back to age 10 years?
I'm saying someone could want.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I mean, at the price.
I'm just saying I'm not either.
Well, I'm not a mad scientist, mind you. I'm not going to try to reanimate somebody either. So, I mean,
Good. Oh, yeah, you could put this, cryogenically freeze this.
Yeah, I mean, you're stiff. I'm not going to try to bring you back from the life. What the hell? not that, no. But nevertheless, I think that I don't know. We've seen so many the aging by the Spectator. I mean, they've done this with Chiantes. They've done this so often recently, where they are just going buck wild with these age ranges
out their ass,
and it's just not. It's a little silly. I don't know why. I mean, that doesn't. I just don't.
I mean, this is no Col de Sasso.
No, not many things are. They never said that about Col de Sasso. But when they're saying,
neither did we.
Gentine is going to age 10 years. And he's not. And, the Zingari, 33? No. What are you going to have then? Could they still be drinkable at that point?
Maybe.
But you're not. I mean, if we're talking about a win, they just say now in 2035, but that's a pretty big range. I mean, that's a really big 2035. You're going to have to see something big and ugly now to think that it's going to be that. But I don't know. It's just it's a subtle wine. I mean, overall.
Yeah. I don't see it survive in that time period. No. I mean, maybe if it's a dystopian society and you wandered across a desert and you came across a bottle of this, you might pop it and drink it and enjoy that.
Maybe if it was a shipwreck.
Oh.
Down there at the cold depths.
It's kind of crazy. This would be the timeline for drinking when William graduates high school.
It's true.
I think we'll do something better than
that. Yeah, I know. You know what, though? Maybe by the time you find it in a restaurant, that would be 2035.
Oh.
Yeah. Or a shop.
Excellent, excellent thought.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or.
That could be what they
not. Mean. Yeah, I don't. This is fine.
Yeah.
It's no, it's solid. It's good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I like it. It's better than Kim Crawford. I know.
Ooh.
It is.
How it's dare you?
Well, you've not had Kim Crawford's Pinot, have you, Scott?
Sure.
No, you haven't.
Absolutely.
When? Name the date, time, place, what you were wearing. Assuming that it's appropriate.
I've done Kim Crawford Pinot. I've done the Sauvignon Blanc. It's fine. This is...
Better than that.
I would prefer the Kim Crawford Pinot.
But you're just a contrarian bullshit artist.
Well, no.
A man of no integrity.
I'm the man of
integrity. Slightly nefarious and sordid.
Very sordid.
I did refer to you as
sordid.
On the episode released tonight, you need to read the description of that. It might be besmirching to you, in my opinion. That's
allegedly.
Right. No, I think it was. It was the Muscota Vineyards Cabernet.
Oh, really?
Yes. Cat Bernet. By the most famous wine producer in all the world.
Lord.
Second famous, most famous is Innocent Bystander, apparently.
Oh,
so,
Jesus. Yeah.
Well, folks, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, Scott is going to stop being a bullshit artist. And he's going to
never
be a truthful person.
Never.
Show integrity. And be a whole man here on the Wine Vault. I had to restart the segment here because Scott lost his mind. And I didn't think that was possible. So, on tonight's potpourri, we're going to have our Christmas extravaganza. Now, I know you're sitting there right now because I know you opened your podcasting app and said, oh my gosh, it's Christmas came early. There's another wine vault for me to download. And you got excited. And so you were going to maybe go to church or spend time with your family, but instead what
church.
You did.
Our listeners go to church.
I go to church.
That's true. I go to church.
And people
you're
are
the only one that does
it,
Scott.
You.
You're the only one that doesn't go to church.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, Rob, you don't go to church.
I do.
You just attend.
I go to church. I was a church treasurer once.
Yes.
Not
yes,
a good one, but I was. But you're sitting there, and you threw all those aside, and you're sitting by, I would like to think, by a fireside.
Yes.
And you are listening to the Wine Vault instead.
I hope that you're not, like, ignoring your family. I would like to think that maybe your kids are already in bed. Maybe you and a loved one are drinking some wine while you're finishing wrapping some gifts.
That would be lovely. By a fireside. Please do not have us on when children are around. That'd be bad.
We should have probably put that at the beginning of the episode, huh?
Well, if they don't know
plotting
that by now,
the demise of society or no?
No.
Not so much?
Here's a question.
I hope there's some snow wherever you are listening.
That's true. When you're sitting there listening to the Wine Vault on Christmas Eve, drinking wine. Actually, we did not record this on Christmas Eve and then put it right out. That'd be ridiculous. But we're just very close.
Very close.
What wine would be best for them to be drinking? Of what we've had on the show.
Oh, I know.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you know closer to the microphone?
I know. I don't want to... I just feel like if you are celebrating... This is so stupid. If you're celebrating a holiday like Christmas and you're not drinking Turley, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the same thing. It's like, why not a Turley, right?
Yeah.
But, or a nice spicy port.
Oh. See, what we have...
Mama always takes port to Christmas Day. Oh, and yes. So I can't... I don't like it, so I don't drink it. But then he and his brother-in-law and sister have a great time, and then his mom judges them all day.
Well, she'd get mad if someone was... We were all drunk when we drove home with our children. So at least you're sober. This is the thing. For this Christmas Eve, we have a 6-pound rib roast.
Nice.
So we got that. But I would... Turley's nice. I would say that's nice. But I think a proper just Napa Cabernet.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that, maybe a Heights or a Duckhorn. Something classic, traditional.
Mondavi, just the traditional reserve, the Napa Valley.
Oh.
$40, whatever it is.
That black label one?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Mondavi. Black Robert label. Mondavi.
The reserve, just the Napa Valley.
Oh, do you mean?
$35, $40.
Well, how about the Oakville?
It's Oakville, yeah.
Well, no. The regular, you have the Napa, that's 40. Oakville's about $50, $60.
Okay.
I have the Oakville, and I have the Napa.
I mean, that's classic.
That is classic. That's a good idea, Scott.
Jordan.
Do you mean Jordan?
Yeah, I like the idea. So, Heights, you can find it sometimes like a more upscale wine cellar shop, but you're not going to be able to find that everywhere. Turley, we've discussed. But I like Scott's suggestion because that might be more easily accessible.
For our Carano Cabernet.
Yes.
Saint Supre.
I would say the Fremark Abbey, but we recently had the 16 and...
Yeah. Duckhorn is pretty widely available as well.
It is. Even at its price range, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are some, you know what would be nice? A J.Lor Hilltop. They just came out with a new label for the Hilltop. Normally when...
I don't trust new labels.
Yeah.
I don't.
But normally when a winery come out with a new label, it looks terrible. This is actually a really handsome label. You should see.
I know. Okay. I want to Google it.
No, it's really handsome, in my opinion, mind you. But
like Craig Wilder's handsome?
Not getting weird. Yes.
Really?
Classically handsome. Yes. Traditionally handsome. Like Jeb Dunnock's hair.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, my God.
I know. Or Tim Atkins' smooth honed chest.
Oh. Now you're just getting creepy.
It's true. But no. You know what would also be really nice? Remember that Primitivo you and I had, Scott? Well, Becky's also had it. What the hell was that? What was it? It's up there. I can't, what the hell it's called? Sasso.
Sasso. I thought you were talking about another Primitivo.
What, Grifone? No. That's good for Boxing Day, I think.
You know, we actually liked that when we did our first podcast.
No, what, the Sasso? Yes.
The Primitivo.
No.
Yes.
Lord, no.
Dude, you loved it. It was the best one we had because we had some shit that night.
Tribunal. You bought it all. You brought the wine. Jesus Christ. If you're going to
You said Italian.
That's true. If you're going to do a white wine, Rayburn Chardonnay. You know? Mm. Yeah.
Turley White Coat.
I don't know about a white wine on Christmas Eve.
I know.
But so for Christmas for a lot of people is white wine. It really is.
Well, Gewürztraminer or something like that.
Yeah.
With turkey. We've never done a Gewürz on the show. We need to get a Gewürz on the show. Problem is the Gewürz that are out there, well, are Fetzer, Hogue,
shit.
You know. But yeah, it is what it is. And if I could find one that I thought would be a good representative of the varietal character, I'd do it. But I think most of it's just, you know, sweet quasi slop. You know, and it's just going to override it. But
and a lot of people do ham for Christmas, and white wine does well with ham.
Well, yeah.
It really does.
Once again, Gewürztraminer.
Yeah.
Some Riesling isn't terrible with it, but
Riesling. We hosted a Christmas 1 year. For our friends.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, yes. Ham.
Have you had ham since then?
Not really. Mm-hmm. No. And we all got violently ill.
We've gone through this so many times on the show.
Yes. Yeah. It was really bad.
Every time someone mentions ham, I like need to take a minute.
Yeah, and that was the last time I think we had a big group Christmas like that, wasn't it?
It was when I was pregnant with William.
Oh, yeah. It was so awful. But, yeah.
And I remember... our friends that brought the ham, also their son was selling oranges, like as part of FFA or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought over like 2 dozen oranges. And we just threw them out because we were like, that came from that house. Yeah.
And Steve was referring to them as patient zero. Yeah. He wouldn't he didn't trust them. He wouldn't go around them. You know, because Paige also got sick, didn't she? Yeah, she did too. It wasn't just us. Well, and Rob Mercurio, the cop, got sick, and his family got sick.
It was a doubleheader. I think there was food poisoning, and they carried the flu. People got sick from the flu too.
Same difference,
I was pregnant.
No, I mean like the head cold flu.
Yeah. I was pregnant with William, and so I had the stomach bug, and it just led straight into like 15 more weeks of morning sickness.
Oh, I bet. Because you'd never get your stomach right.
Yeah, I just puked for 15 more weeks.
Yeah.
That was you.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, he was bad for that, though. Mm-hmm. You had bad morning sickness with that child.
And also, when Henry got sick like a month later, Rob gave him red Gatorade.
I don't remember that.
Remember that story?
That would be inopportune.
That was probably a mistake. There might have been red food coloring all over the house.
Yeah, I don't
remember. Some ruined sheets.
I remember it because Rob's dad had to come sit with Henry for 10 minutes. Do you remember
see
that?
The look on Becky's face.
And when I came home, Henry was wearing like giraffe pajamas and cowboy boots.
Interesting.
I have a video of him somewhere.
How William
was like, I'm sick.
Okay.
With a big smile on his face.
Yeah. Super cute.
Well, folks, with that little reminiscence, now we're going to get on to our next portion.
Sorry, that took a dark turn.
It did.
Good memories.
That's true.
It's good memories of your children getting violently ill.
Exactly.
In cowboy boots.
Every year we do a gift exchange. Every year, three? But still, last year, if you can remember, we got Grand Vin glasses for Scott, and he got us some wonderful steaks and some other odds and ends. This year we have another exchange. Scott has a big paper bag, which is very exciting. We have our gift over there. Scott, would you like to go over there and unwrap the gift?
No, I'm giving mine first.
Closet.
It's very much not wrapped. Oh. So
no kidding.
It's just
very
loud.
Traditional.
Scott, yeah.
That's my hippie tea. That's not for you guys.
Scott got
kombucha.
He got tea.
So
he just went to the grocery store.
All in.
Oh.
This is a present for Sweet Sue when you guys go to Kentucky.
Oh, that's actually quite nice.
It's a little mini poinsettia.
I like that.
That's really sweet.
I've never seen one of those like
in a sparkly pot.
Yeah.
That's cute.
And it has glitter on the flowers.
Yes.
And a little something something for the boys, no big deal. Some sea salt caramels.
Oh. I love all of these.
Yeah.
You don't get to eat those. Those are for the boys.
Go ahead.
They might not like them.
And what's maybe becoming a tradition.
Tradition.
I've got two.
Ooh. We have a white bag of some
rib steaks that I treated with some Unlicensed Taxi Driver love.
Oh.
We've got some truffle salt.
Oh,
my.
Some smoked bacon sea salt.
Ooh.
That's some cool.
Smack Your Mama.
Oh.
And coarse pepper.
Those are...
And lemon zest.
That's cool.
Those are hearty steaks.
They're inch and a quarter, depending on how you look at them.
Passover, I'll put them in the refrigerator.
Potascola meats.
Oh, very nice.
So you
nice.
Said they, you put bacon, fat, salt?
It's bacon smoked sea salt.
Oh, that's cool.
Truffle salt.
Uh-huh.
Smack Your Mama spice seasoning. Coarse black pepper and lemon zest.
That's cool.
Here, pass those over here. I'll put those in the...
I know Rob likes to play with the steaks, so...
Oh.
Yeah, what's this?
Some proper Roquefort.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
The Derms do Friday night steaks.
Yeah.
We have a Friday night steak deserves...
Oh! Where'd you find
a
that?
A nice bottle of wine.
Where'd you even find that? Is this from your stash?
I got connections.
Oh.
Thank you very much, Scott. A Barisha Zinfandel. That is delicious.
I feel like what you provided was New Year's Eve in a bag.
Well, I don't know if we can keep those around till New Year's Eve. I would hate to freeze them. so.
It's just the Friday night, the Dern household.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Steaks and a bottle of wine.
Delicious. Yeah. Thank you.
Blue cheese crumbles.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Little
something. Look how something cool that
boys.
Is.
That's, ooh, my.
A little something, something for Sweet Sue. That's the real deal right there. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to hand over ours?
Yes, and now for Scott. And Scott's going to look at this box and say, what is that?
It's very large.
It is large. It's a large gift. I wrapped it myself.
Yes,
did you really? Wow.
I made it myself, actually.
You made it.
Yes. It's a picture of me.
I have wrapped every single gift in this household, so you should feel really special.
Except for this
one. This is the one.
Yes. Oh. It's good that you're unwrapping it right next to the microphone. That's really nice. People love that. They couldn't understand what you were doing unless you did that.
It's a cardboard box.
It is.
Nothing but the best.
Yes. It is a nude picture of the superstar.
How disgusting.
But you haven't seen it yet. You don't know that. That's being judgmental. I taped the shit out of it.
I'm very psyched.
Here you go.
I'm just going to break the tape.
Oh, you're going to do that. He's going to rip the tape like a savage beast.
Oh, very nice. What this is, folks, is a winery map of, I believe, is this Cali? Napa. The wineries of Napa. This
every winery awesome. In Napa Valley is plotted out on that map, and it's framed for it.
This is a cool gift. There's a lot of cool wine swag you can get around the holidays. There's some specials. Wine Folly's running some specials. She has a tasting poster that's like buy one, get one, and it's really cool. This is so cool.
We thought that might look good in your wine room or anywhere, really.
This is badass. This is a badass gift.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool to look at. You stare at it.
I know. When Rob was showing it to me, I was like, hang on, let me look at it for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how dense
the wineries are.
The wineries are. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them you just glance through and they just stick out. Atlas Peak, Paradigm.
Everything's
Latour.
On there.
Latour.
Mm-hmm. Latour. That's Bordeaux.
There's a Latour.
Okay.
There's a Latour.
Oops. Typo.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Eagle Eye. Alamera. Oh. Cosentino. What was the Cosentino we had? Do we have a Cosentino in Vegas? Was that
No, we had it here. It was, we had the Cosentino Zin.
Right. Mm-hmm. We didn't care for that. So
I liked it. You guys didn't.
Hmm.
No. I had it?
No, Steve did.
Oh, I was going to say, does it ring any bells?
It was before you had submitted your audition for the show. And
Oh my good Lord. This is fantastic. I love that.
I'm glad. We're glad. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
I'm sure you'll find a place to put that. Just, it gives you a little bit of a, like that Heights thing I put. That just came free with the stuff we ordered. I was like, screw that. I'm putting that up.
No kidding.
I know. I was like, that's the best thing. Well, obviously, the ink-grade ports aren't bad either.
I thought that was cool, and I really liked that Chateau.
Souverine, mm-hmm. where they did the labels? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to everybody. Mm-hmm. Spend time with the people you care about and love. And, I care about the Derns a great deal, and we spend a lot of time together. And it's important to surround yourself with good people, and the holidays are as important time to do that as any. And I just wish everybody, the best holidays and a great year coming up. Be thankful,
That's
it's,
true.
It's crazy, strange times. And just be good, be happy with what you can be happy about. And, if you've got something that's not going well in your life, work on it, get better.
And folks, one thing to be happy about that we can tell you is soon, after the first of the year, in season four, you're going to hear, and I don't want to get you too excited, but the superstar.
Superstar.
All Oh, yes. We're going to be doing the taping very soon.
He returns.
With the superstar.
From a sabbatical.
Yes, it's actually going to be an all-star lineup. All four.
Oh, my
listener
Lord.
Request.
Listener requested.
It was very listener requested.
So,
what's up, cuz?
We do have our New Year's Eve episode, obviously, coming out on Sunday. We're hoping you'll obviously enjoy that greatly, where we're going to reveal our wine of the year and winery of the year in a somewhat entertaining slash coherent fashion.
Slightly coherent.
Yes.
Mostly coherent.
And a wine that I found to be disappointing. Well, I don't want to spoil it for you.
Well.
It sucked. I know they liked it, kind of. We nobody loved it, but still.
They liked it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of judgment just now.
By the way, Scott. I'd like to say this, not to reveal anything. At Aldi right now, you can buy 3 liter bottles. Three.
I saw it.
Jesus Christ of Prosecco for $60.
I saw it.
That's a whole hell of a lot of turds in a bottle. I mean, what the hell, man? Who walks into Aldi saying, hey, man.
You're throwing a party?
You know, fuck. You know the problem with that champagne is?
But you
only get two glasses out of it.
You can't even pour the damn 3 liter. I mean, I could get. If it was Camus or something elite, some cab, that would be something. It still makes you look good.
Even that 3 liters is obnoxious.
Yes, and it's obnoxious as well.
Obnoxious.
Yes, it's both. It's not just obnoxious. It's obnoxious. But 3 liters of Prosecco. Who the hell? I mean,
what are we gonna have on New Year's Eve?
I haven't bought it yet.
No Prosecco.
No Prosecco. What are you doing for New Year's? You coming here again?
Don't know.
You should come here?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we got
baby
that
time.
Unknown baby time stuff, so.
I'm thinking, I saw.
It's a funny holiday season for us. We've got some family issues going on, medical issues, baby issues, and it's, you know, it's like I said, just be thankful for your health.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you, Becky, we're either going to have Jay, which is California, or Rotorua State. Okay. And you'll like both of them.
Rotorua State, you can't, just can't go wrong.
I tried to find Jay Moore's new label, and I couldn't.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Huh. I don't know. It's like purple and gold and everything nice. So you'd like that because you like the bar.
Silver and gold.
Silver and gold.
Something on silver and gold.
Yes, I don't know the words. You know what? I defy anybody to know the words.
Princess probably knows the
James words. Suckling probably knows the words.
Silver and gold. Silver and gold. I wish my master class made me silver and gold.
But it doesn't, does it,
very
James?
Clever.
You know, and a Merry Christmas to everybody except Steve Budde. He can go fuck himself. So we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know. Let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. Off the air, Scott played Silver and Gold off YouTube, I suppose, and I realized why I didn't know the lyrics because they're not any good.
They really aren't any good.
No.
Silver and Gold.
And The Innocent Bystander.
There's nothing innocent about this bystander.
We're going to go around the room.
Bystander.
But we're going to get a review about this wine, for this wine, here on the Wine Vault. We're going to start over with the Triple B.
As usual.
Of course. Set the table for us. Show us the way.
I know.
Well, isn't that that's a religious song?
Show me the way. No, it's not. No. Who sings that? It's an 80s song. Maybe early 90s.
I thought that was like one of those contemporary Christian songs.
No, no.
I don't need to know, really. I just felt dirty there for a second. But
Show Me the Way to Go Home.
No.
Peter Frampton.
Oh.
Styx.
No, I wasn't singing that. Peter Frampton that plays his guitar with his mouth.
You are such a Peter Frampton hater.
I know. I've seen him in concert. He was great when he was with Humble Pie. Then it just...
Do you feel like I do?
Yeah, that wasn't what I was singing, though. When someone drops a cup and I sit there. You know, it was some sort of live concert, and he wasn't playing anything live. I was like, who the fuck is this old asshole? And it was him. I couldn't figure out who it was. I'm like, this guy fucking, there it is. That's his mouth. That's not Peter Frampton. That's Joe Walsh singing that.
That's what it sounds like. Doesn't sound like Peter Frampton. Swimming in a circle.
What?
That's one of the lyrics to the song. I'm swimming in a circle.
Yeah, that's what I was singing.
Styx.
Oh, that is?
That's Styx.
I didn't know it was Styx song.
It's from Edge of the Century.
Oh, Dennis DeYoung.
And it's the one that has the Hourglass album cover.
Yeah, it's the really
album covers.
Bad one.
Yes.
It was
so beautiful. They also maybe did a soundtrack for Days of Our Lives.
That's what it sounds like.
It's a comment about time. I just remember, though, the VH1 Behind the Music. Oh. It's like Dennis DeYoung, his wife is on there. She's like, you know, Dennis would always be like, well, when me and the guys, and she's like, sweetie, they don't want you back in the band.
Right. Right now, our millennial listeners are going like, I just love it when they talk about VH1.
I know, I was just
going to
say,
does that exist VH1 anymore?
Still exists.
I don't know.
Yeah, well.
I just remember Phil and I went to, we had free tickets, of course, to Styx, but it was also, it was Nelson, then it was Peter Frampton, and then Styx.
Just Nelson?
Yes.
Nelson.
Who was missing out of Styx?
Well, Dennis DeYoung.
Probably they all were. Probably Tommy Shaw and Dennis DeYoung.
No, Tommy Shaw was there. Phil did not know that Dennis DeYoung was not in Styx. I went, you understand that? Because I just saw the VH1. He goes, what do you mean? It's like some just, who is it? I went, fucking some dude. I don't fucking know who he is. It was just some garbage man, as far as I know. I mean,
where'd you guys go see that?
At Polaris, which doesn't exist anymore.
And
we ran out of money. We used all our money on alcohol.
Shakespearean Phil's not very observant, is he? He didn't notice that you are, in fact, Dennis DeYoung. He didn't notice.
You have too much time on your hands. I wish you'd go sail away.
Does VH1 still exist?
I don't know. I don't know what channel it would be. Does MTV still exist?
Yeah, MTV does. It's trash. But okay. VH1, I think, used to do pop-up video. That was the best show on TV.
What's the pop-up video?
What?
Yes.
Okay, so they would show a music video, okay, and little thought bubbles would pop up with, like, trivia.
Okay.
So it would be like, you know, Scott insisted every day to have 2 eggs for breakfast. Like, just things like that the whole time. It was so cool.
What was that Styx song?
Which one?
Show Me the Way.
Too much time. No. Yeah. We played, what was the trivia game used to be on the computer? Very popular 20 years ago.
Trivia?
We were paying.
Trivial Pursuit?
No.
Mastermind?
We were playing games on the TV. You download it. It was a blast.
You downloaded it on the TV?
Yeah.
What?
I didn't have that.
We were just playing it. Oh, Paige's house just this weekend.
Jack in the Box.
Yes.
Okay.
Jack in the Box. But what was predated Jack in the Box?
I never had heard of Jack in the Box, so I was at
Paige's. You mean those VH1 things where you'd watch them and use the VHS? And
it was bad words. It was freaking great. Jack in the Box was...
We played... Paige has this thing... where you like plug it into the back of your TV and you can play games on your cell phone. So we played a Jack in the Box game where you like design t-shirts. It was really funny. And then we did one about, like, basically
for the design. The t-shirt was the one we played.
Yeah, and then
it's
like
freaking hysterical.
Formidable, whatever it was. But it was like you have to come up with lies and truths.
You don't know Jack is the trivia game I was thinking of. Oh. You don't remember? You don't know Jack?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm. It was hysterical. You played it, and if you got the answer wrong, the host was like talking smack to you. Oh. It was a little interactive, not much.
It's because you always know the answers. So they were like,
I was pretty good.
You're pretty smart.
I was pretty good at You Don't Know Jack.
Yeah, it was funny. It's like something that you plug into the back of your TV and play.
Yeah, it's you download like an app, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Like an Atari.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
An Atari. Pong. Did you play Pong?
Just yes.
Play Pong.
Dong, 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 dong. Yes, I did.
There was no sound effects to Pong.
You had a shitty version of Pong.
Dong.
Dong. Dong, 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 dong.
No, it was just dong.
But that's what you played.
Dong.
I was up on another level than you.
Dong, 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 dong. I'm sure you were.
Last year that's for right. Christmas.
What?
I think it was last year for Christmas. The wine guy got a Game Boy with all of the old games loaded onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So Henry plays.
Yep, Henry has commandeered it.
It's pretty cool, though.
He likes it. He knows a lot more. There's a lot more games on there than I knew about. There's like 200 games. I don't know.
Yeah, it's cool. It's almost just like fun, a little simple Game Boy.
You know. Yeah. I don't remember any of these games are on there, but some of them are.
I remember like the Hamburger Gang.
Oh, Hamburger! Yes,
I love that game.
Yeah, it's so hard.
It was hard.
It's so hard. I tried to play it the other day. I died like 15 times in a row.
Sing the music to that. I can't. I'm too congested.
Yeah.
It's like.
Well, it sends you into psychosis.
Yeah, it
psychotic. Is psychotic.
No wonder Henry had hallucinations.
Yeah, he's thinking about hamburger. And William's like, hamburger? Yeah, we went to Red Robin today, and William got their cheeseburger. But it comes with tomato, pickle, lettuce.
How does that go for him?
I was like, do you want any of that? And he goes, no. And then he just puts everything on it. And
He didn't want it, but he put everything on it anyway.
Yeah, he wasn't mad about it. He just woofed it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had that, and then he had two sides, because they do, like, bottomless sides. He had two sides of mandarin oranges.
He drank the juice.
So happy.
And then I have the monster burger in a lettuce wrap.
Yeah.
So it was a double?
Oh, yeah. That was really good. Oh, so good.
And we two both types had the of side cheeses. Salad that was really good.
Yeah.
What salad was good?
The side salad.
Just a little side salad.
I just had a regular cheeseburger with a side salad, no bun.
Yeah, this was really good.
Yeah.
The burgers had char on them. You could taste the char. I know Steve hates Red Robin, but this was really good.
Yeah. Well, see.
The side salad had carrots, cucumber, but like slices of cucumber.
Yeah, big
not like
big chunks of cucumber, yeah.
Certain people in his life really like Red Robin, so I think that's his antithesis to it.
But it was really good.
Nice.
It's one of the tastier things I've had in a while.
I've never had a bad experience with Red Robin.
No.
I've only gone a couple times. It's expensive for what it is.
Yeah. Well, all of us ate for $50, which is five people.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Henry got macaroni and cheese and mandarin oranges, and his macaroni and cheese and mandarin oranges were bottomless.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's $4 or $5. Yeah. But, you know, like my burger, they like the lettuce wrap, but they like wrap it in the cellophane so it never falls out. It's really good. And
you had the burger experience. It wasn't a burger land on a plate.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't
know
Wendy's
bun. Will do that for you.
Yeah.
Wrap your double in a lettuce and wrap it in the wax paper.
Yeah.
But then other ones, it's just laying there in the box.
Yeah. No, yeah. They really did it. It was good. It was good. Mm-hmm. But the burger tasted really good, too, so. Okay, the triple B, though.
She's been putting this on.
The innocent bystander.
How did we even get on this? So as much as it pains me, I think I'm going to be somewhere around the wine enthusiast score, 88.
Mm-hmm.
This wine is very nice. I'm going to talk through it out loud and then see if I change my score. So I think it's a great entry-level Pinot to try out. It's not overly complex, but it still has depth to it. I really like, it does have like a floral note to it. It does have just a touch of the oakiness to it. I think it has a nice mouthfeel. And like the ending with that acidity, I think it's just really, really well done. I don't know if it was purposeful or if they just got really lucky in it. But that's a really, really nice bonus to it. So yeah, I'm going to say it at 88, but I would recommend that all day long.
Mm-hmm. On to the unlicensed.
Well, comrade, let me tell you the reality of this.
No, I don't think I care for it as much as y'all do. But it's.
But you, in fairness, you have a disease.
I do, and so like the aromas, the aromatics in this, I've got none of that. So I don't. I just don't.
And he doesn't trust us, evidently, to tell him how it.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, plainly, you guys got something on those that I just don't have. It's just not there. But, and it's possible that my palate's affected by being head cold, and it's realistically it's possible,
especially for a Pinot.
Yes, and for a Pinot, definitely. Mm-hmm. So you have to take what I say with a grain of salt. But it's good. It's solid. If I would frame it, I would say 86 to 88. But I'm gonna go. I was going to say 86, but I'm going to give it 87. It does check all the boxes, but the best characteristic is the acidity, and even that, it's just nothing of this takes to another level.
But you would have a more positive opinion if some dum-dum didn't give it a 92.
Well, that's a fact.
I mean, the enthusiast is wrong with their descriptor, but I agree with the 88. Matter of fact, that's what I gave it, an 88, just like the triple B. I would give it an 87 to 89, but I'm going to put it right in the middle of the 88. I can't go 89. 89, it's not special enough for that. Partly because, like the triple B said, it's not overtly complex.
It really isn't.
It isn't. Right. The nose hints at a little bit of a floral character, but it doesn't really come across on the palate.
I'm just not getting the differentiation of fruit that any of these descriptors had.
Not really.
It's just the fruit's all muddled. We never really talked about that. Well, there's a reason. You know, there's no. Yeah. It's I would want to have some cherry, some berry, some strawberry, possibly, and it's just.
It's fruity. And I can't get to the chocolate. When they talked about the matcha green tea.
Nothing.
I'm not there.
Uh-uh. Well, I don't even know what the hell matcha green tea tastes like.
It's just green tea.
It tastes like vomit.
I mean, I do agree with blueberry a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But matcha green tea is just green tea. Mm. You don't care for it? It's just a really...
I could puke. Every time I had to make one when tea. I worked at Starbucks, I wanted to vomit.
Really?
Ugh.
I love green tea.
Ugh. I like green tea, but I don't like matcha.
You don't like matcha.
Well, one thing I would say, though, like the Moroccan lamb stew with curry and cumin and ginger, I don't see this, though, with that that exotic of a food either. I mean, if I'm pairing this with food...
You know, I'm sorry. I'm changing my score back to the 86. That's where I was at originally. It's good. I do recommend
you
it.
You can't.
It's just fine. It doesn't...
Yeah. The other thing is, this wine is far... I mean, it's a Pinot, so it is what it is. But it's much too delicate for something like a stew with cumin and ginger. Far too delicate for that. But I don't know that that's a knock on it. I think that's more of a knock on Wilford Wong. He would pair a Pinot with something like that that's a much stronger flavor.
But he pairs everything with lamb stew. He really does.
I just like lamb stew. What's your problem?
What's the fish he always picks out?
It's like, fish.
No, it's like some obscure red snapper. No,
star-kissed tuna. I like tuna.
Speaking of the sea.
Yeah. Mackerel. Yes, I like Prince Edward in a can. You better let him out. That's a great joke. I make that joke all the time. Hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. What score did you give this one guy?
88.
Oh. I'm the Prince of Pino. Yes,
I don't think the Prince of Pinot would care for this.
I would give this Pinot 122 because it's Pinot, and I'm Prince
of
Pinot.
I'm so mad at you about your voice for him.
This is my voice, and I will pardon the innocent bystander, Prince of Pinot, and now I will sing "Do Look Like a Lady."
Yeah. You know how he sounds like a bird when he says, la, la, la. It just kind of
It does.
Yeah. And by the way, the Prince of Pinot is here with us. I framed a photograph of him.
It's really creepy.
Actually, I printed a picture offline. And I put a crown on him because he is a prince.
And he's in this awful plaid shirt.
That's what he wears in every picture, Scott.
It's awful.
Well, he doesn't know. I mean, I'll knock him all day long, but I'm not going to knock his shirt. I mean, that's kind of kicking him down. Kicking him when he's down. It's a black. It's a black and white photo.
You can mock him any other thing. Well, you've got too much taste to mock his shirt.
His voice is dumb.
So, Principino didn't score this wine, but he did provide a review.
I did.
Oh.
What?
From the 2008.
What?
Yeah.
Well, he's been doing this for a long time. He
lightly
was retired.
Colored with reddish highlights.
Yeah.
The nose is dominated by herbaceous oak with little fruit. Light raspberry and cherry fruit on the palate with a riff of oak evident from entry to finish. Velvety with supple tannins in a feminine style. I would agree with that.
I certainly didn't get the raspberry. I didn't get any distinct fruit whatsoever.
Well, I would agree with velvety with supple tannins in a feminine style. This wine is an easy quaff.
Yeah,
it is.
It is, and it's a really drinkable wine. And I may be the Russian judge on this, but it's an easy drinker. There's two things that are the best thing about this. It's approachable, and the acidity is really nice.
Yeah, well, yeah. I wouldn't say you're Russian. I would say you're what, Georgian,
Ukrainian,
Uzbekistan kind of thing. That's what the Mongolian, maybe the Polish.
You're not allowed to say Mongolian anymore. Stop that.
Why? It's Mongolia.
You're not allowed to say that.
It's Mongolia. It's a country.
You can't.
I can say Mongolia.
You're not allowed to say that.
I can't say Mongoloid. I can say Mongolia. But I can say Mongoloid when I talk about you. So there's that.
Damn it.
Yeah. And no one said I couldn't say Mongoloid.
I did.
No. What the hell? I listened to you. But damn. You can't say Mongoloid. Okay. Mongoloid. People don't even know what that means. That's an old-time term.
Don't do that. Don't do it.
It's an old-time term. Nobody knows that term anymore, and I don't mean it the way you'd think I mean it.
You're so mean.
Actually, I do. Nevertheless.
You don't know Jack.
But I agree, though. 87 to 89, but 88 is the score. And it's one of those things, you want to give an 87, 86 is too low in my opinion. But
you know where Enthusiast was right? It is kind of flattening out.
No, it's not.
It's kind of flattening out.
It's not. They said it turns into basically soapy and confectionery, and it's not.
I don't agree with the soapiness, but taste it. The tannins have really subsided.
Once again, it just tastes like Pinot. And, you know, I've always thought the Kim Crawford was a 85, 86. And that's why I put this in 88, too. I mean, that's just about where it is. I don't get the 92. I don't think I ever would.
No.
I never would understand
that.
No
way.
That, so.
That's stupid. That's just...
It's a dumb score. It's a dumb score.
This is an elevated Pinot.
It's not special, but it's nice. It's recommended. Especially at the price range, if you find it at $18.99, don't spend $25 on it, for God's sakes. But $18.99, sure, pick up a bottle.
Honestly, I think if we lined up six New Zealand Pinots in this price range, this would probably be middle of the road.
Well, who are you lining up against?
Just any six.
Any six?
I think any six New Zealand Pinots, this would be middle of the road.
Okay. So, okay.
I just don't think this is... stand out in any way.
I think this would be in the top third.
That would...
The top two instead of
the
three
top,
and four.
The top third, yes. No, I don't think that. It's just whatever. Top half, probably.
Yeah.
You know?
It's sliding down the scale. Third or fourth.
Probably.
That's what I was...
It's
saying.
Better
he,
than...
He said this would be first two or three.
Nah, I don't know. First three.
What do you think? If we lined up six New Zealand Pinots.
What are you lining up against?
Well, here's the thing. I love New Zealand Pinots.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, this is very much representative of a New Zealand Pinot at an entry level. This is not overly complicated. This isn't going to be like really blowing anyone's socks off. But this is the one that you start drinking to get yourself ready for some of the bigger.
And Scott,
my real disappointment with this is it has zero expression of fruit. It has an expression of fruit, but there's nothing distinct about it. You can't pick out raspberry. You can't pick out strawberry.
I picked out blueberry.
Okay. Maybe that's I'm sick.
Yeah.
And you are
honestly,
sick.
Honestly, at this price point, I am so thrilled that they got the oaking rye.
Yeah, they really did. If anything, it's a little under oaked.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice. They did a good job.
Not heavy, and that you get that acidity at the end. That bonus to me, that's what elevates it a little bit higher. That's where I was a little bit struggling with the score because there isn't anything that's like, you know, truly memorable. You're getting no minerality. You're getting nothing herbal. But the oaking is so light because they knew that I'm hoping that the winemaker knew that the flavors were very light, so he oaked it lightly. And then, like I said, that acidity at the end, it's a little bit of an unusual thing. That would be what I would take away and remember from this.
The one thing I would say, though, about the winemaker that I think that is secretly concerning all of us, their portfolio is a little bit trashy.
Yeah.
So you know they think of them, they're not 19 Crimes, mind you.
It's weird.
But their portfolio is unsavory. You're not going to see Love Block doesn't do that. Kim Crawford, for Christ's sake, doesn't do that.
Part of me thinks that they just really, really got lucky.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's also the
I would like to drink some different vintages.
What? It's the Aussie in them. Yeah. They just couldn't leave well enough alone. Yeah, we have this New Zealand. Hey, mate, we have this New Zealand Pinot. Hey, mate, let's have some Moscato, pink Moscato, mate. Why did I just sound New York? But anyway, I can't really do an Australian accent. But nevertheless, they couldn't protect themselves. Leave they couldn't well save themselves. Alone. No, Lord, no. They just had to just fuck around
they
a little bit.
Tempranillo?
Of course they do.
King Valley.
I don't know if you can find it, but yeah, they got it. Yeah.
Where the hell is King Valley? I'm assuming that's Australia.
Yeah, I think that there's an intention of making money overall. And so that's why this isn't Love Block. This isn't Palliser Estate. So if Palliser Estates and Love Block were in that competition, this would not be doing so well. And there's a lot of St. Innocent. There's some other things that are really good in New Zealand. But this is a little bit better than Kim Crawford, it's a little bit better than Oyster Bay. It's a little bit better than some of the Via Maria, all the stuff like that. But that's about
it. They're calling their Yarra Valley Syrah.
They have a Syrah.
It's Shiraz.
They're calling it Syrah.
That's really weird.
Do you know why they're doing that?
Why?
Because they want to be fancy, Scott. That's why. So.
No, these guys are weird, dude.
Well, okay. Well, you're weird. But
I'm changing my score to 86 on their weirdness.
You already did that.
Yeah, I'm changing it to 85.5.
You're done. You can't.
So. On wine.com, you can buy the pink Moscato.
Yep. I don't want to do
that. $12.99.
It's too much.
It's 20 on their page. How much is the 24 pack?
This is a bottle. Hold on. You can buy the Yarra Valley Pinot for
$20.99. That's what we had.
The Otago is $18.99, which I think is what you got it for. Mm-hmm. And then the Bystander Pinot Gris, $18.99.
Pinot Gris. Do they have the Syrah?
I think it's Gris.
It's Gris.
It's greasy.
I think Innocent Bystander is Gris.
I think it's very greasy.
Do they have the Syrah, the Tempranillo?
No.
Okay, I figured that. So, with that expose.
But their pink Moscato is very highly rated, 4.7.
There's a lot of
out of 5 stars.
There's a lot of trashy people out there.
I like my women a little trashy.
For real.
You and your big 10-inch. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu.
Flip out that big 10-inch.
You can buy the Moscato at Sam's Club.
The band that plays the blues.
I don't want to
talk. The band that plays the blues. She just loved my big 10-inch. Record of my favorite blues.
Scott, can I put this out? You know the words by heart.
Yeah.
You're a trashy fucker. So, we are going to bid you adieu, folks. And see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night. And Merry Christmas from The Wine Vault.